now and then. At last, the Russian officer ambled over to where we lay on the ground. "Would you like a smoke?" he asked in Russian. As I said earlier, I had studied Russian in college and could follow a conversation pretty well, but I pretended not to understand so as to avoid any difficulties. "Thanks, but no thanks," said Yamamoto in Russian. He was good. "Excellent," said the Soviet army officer. "Things will go more quickly if we can speak in Russian." He removed his gloves and put them in his coat pocket. A small gold ring shone in his left hand. "As you are no doubt aware, we are looking for a certain something, looking very hard for it, and we know you have it. Don't ask how we know, we just know. But you do not have it on you now, which means that, logically speaking, you must have hidden it before you were captured. You haven't transported it over there." He motioned towards the Kalka River. "None of you has crossed the river. The letter must be on this side, hidden somewhere. Do you understand what I have said to you so far?" Yamamoto nodded. "I understand," he said, "but we know nothing about a letter." "Fine," said the Russian, expressionless. "In that case, I have one little question to ask you. What were you men doing over here? As you know, this territory belongs to the Mongolian People's Republic. What was your purpose in entering land that belongs to others? I want to hear your reason." "Map making," Yamamoto explained. "I am a civilian employee of a map company, and this man and the one they killed were with me for protection. We knew that this side of the river was your territory, and we are sorry for having crossed the border, but we did not think of ourselves as having made a territorial violation. We simply wanted to observe the topography from the vantage point of the plateau on this side." Far from amused, the Russian officer curled his lips into a smile. "We are sorry," he said slowly. "Yes, of course, you wanted to see the topography from the plateau. Yes, of course, the view is always better from high ground. It makes perfect sense." For a time he said nothing, but stared at the clouds in the sky. Then he returned his gaze to Yamamoto, shook his head slowly, and sighed. "If only I could believe what you are telling me. How much better it would be for all of us. If only I could pat you on the shoulder and say, 'Yes, yes, I see. Now run along home across the river and be more careful in future.' I truly wish I could do this. But unfortunately, I cannot. Because I know who you are. And I know what you are doing here. We have friends in Khailar, just as you have friends in Ulaanbaatar." He took the gloves from his pocket, refolded them and put them back. "To be honest, I have no personal interest in hurting you or killing you. If you would simply give me the letter, then I would have no further business with you. You would be released from this place immediately at my discretion. You could cross the river and go home. I promise you that, on my honor. Anything else that happened would be an internal matter for us. It would have nothing to do with you." The light of the sun from the east was at last beginning to warm my skin. There was no wind, and a few hard white clouds floated in the sky. A long, long silence followed. No one said a word. The Russian officer, the Mongolian officer, the man of the patrol, and Yamamoto, each preserved his own silence. Yamamoto had seemed resigned to death from the moment of our capture. His face showed not the slightest hint of expression. "The two of you will, almost certainly, die here," the Russian went on slowly, a phrase at a time as if speaking to children. "And it will be a terrible death. They..." And here the Russian glanced towards the Mongolian soldiers. The big one holding the machine gun looked at me with a snaggletooth grin.